This morning I want to talk to you about serving. The title of my message is Serving with Honor. Serving with Honor. I don't know how Pastor Jan gets the messages he gets. I know God gives them to him, but God does things in different ways for different people. And I was reading this one particular scripture one day, and something just stood out at me. And I realized it was the Lord prompting me along a certain line. So I began to dig into the Word of God. And of course, you know, Pastor Jan, he's such a student of the Greek and of the Word of God. And I'm such a student of Oklahoma language and the Word of God. I was talking this morning. I said, well, you got to understand, Pastor Jan, I'm just a simple guy. God made it simple so I could get it. So most of what I say is simple. So that we can all get it. But I noticed in John chapter 12 and verse 26, at the end of that verse, Jesus said this. How many believe that you can believe what Jesus said? Amen. I mean, we know all the Word of God's true. And we know we can believe it all. But boy, when it's in red, you really need to believe that. And so Jesus said, if any man, well, I wonder, would that include you? I think it would. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. And I thought, wow, Jesus gave us the key right there that would enable God to honor us. Now, we pretty well know we're to honor him. We pretty well know that we're to respect him and extend honor to God and to Jesus and the Spirit of God and the things of God. But here it kind of flips it around and said that God wants to honor us. And I'm not sure I understand this honor thing, but if God wants to do it, I want it. Okay, because God hasn't got anything that's not good stuff. So Jesus said, if any man will serve me, him my Father will honor. Well, you know, immediately then the Spirit of God led me to Psalm 91. How many are familiar with the 91st Psalm? It's one of our favorites. I mean, it's so powerful and so comforting and so reassuring and just, I mean, you could almost live there. And in the 15th verse, the psalmist David wrote, quoting God, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. You know, I don't know. It seemed like I'm a master at just reading right over stuff sometimes and not even really seeing what I'm reading. And I think what it is we got our mind focused along a certain line, and that's the things we see. But I found that when God begins to speak to us about a specific subject, it's almost like you can find that subject in every verse if you look. It's almost like that's what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. And so here I see that here again, God said there is someone that he wants to deliver from trouble. How many would like to be there?
Yeah.
And that he wants to honor them. Well, I thought, well, who is this someone? Who is this person? Well, it's Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. So we can see here that the person that God will honor is the one who dwells in the secret place. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I feel like the Lord just dropped in my heart, because I was teaching another sermon on use this particular statement, and all of a sudden I heard myself say, there is no longer a secret place. And I thought, I wonder what I'm going to say next. He said, that secret place has been revealed. It is in Christ Jesus. And so when you dwell in Christ Jesus, you're in that place that in the Old Testament was a secret place. But it is no longer a secret place. It is revealed to us through the Word of God. And so we now live in Him. And if we live in Him, God will deliver us from trouble and He will honor us. Now it makes no difference whether you're the pastor of the church, on the staff, church member. It doesn't really make any difference your place in the local church. We all need to realize that we must honor those that we serve, and we must honor those that serve us. In other words, honor is a very, very important part in us obeying God and accomplishing what God wants done in His kingdom. General Douglas MacArthur, one of my heroes of the Second World War, when he was speaking to the graduating class at West Point, he said, "There are two things worse than death." Although that's an interesting statement, I wonder what they are. And he said, "Number one is to live in bondage." Well, I believe he knew something about bondage because in the war he was fighting to set people free over in the Philippines and so forth and so on. And to live without honor. Now, if anybody understands honor, it's the military. The military understands honor. They will lay down their life for a cause. They'll lay down their life just because they are committed and devoted to a purpose. They understand honor. Well, he said the first thing is to live in bondage. Well, Jesus said, "He that knows the Son has been set free." You know, He has really set us free. So bondage has been dealt with in the New Testament church. If you're in bondage today, the Bible makes it real clear that if you'll know the truth will make you free. So just mark it down. If we're in bondage, if you're in bondage, if I'm in bondage, there's some truth someplace I either have ignored or have not discovered. Because the Bible says if you know the truth will make you free. Everybody say free.
Free.
And say, "That's for me." Okay. And so the bondage thing's been dealt with. So to live without honor. Now, what does it mean to have honor? What is honor? I like to go to the dictionary and find out what the dictionary has to say about some of these things. And I found that the word honor means to treat with great consideration or to not take lightly. It means to respect greatly or to admire, have a high opinion of, show reverence and value. Or it means to regard highly or treat with deference and courtesy. Or which would mean to have good manners toward or politeness. Or to esteem of the highest degree. Now as I'm speaking these words, can you realize that that's our attitude toward God? That's the way we should look at God. We should esteem Him highly. We should value Him highly. We should reverence Him highly. We understand that. And so to esteem means to give value to or appreciate and prize or to show great dignity or distinction toward. But I'd like for you to know that God wants to extend that to you. He wants to see you as valuable. Matter of fact, He does see you as valuable. He wants you to know He sees you as valuable. He wants you to know that He honors you and wants to extend and show that honor. But Jesus put a condition on that. He said, "If any man will serve me, him my Father will honor." Well, what does it mean to serve the Lord? I was raised, with a church background. Didn't serve God, but went to church, taken to church. And eventually when I got in a heap bunch of trouble, knew where to go and get some heap bunch of help. And praise God for that. But, you'd hear someone say, "Well, how long have you served the Lord?" And I realized they weren't really wanting to know how long you'd served the Lord. They wanted to know how long you've been saved. Because you can be saved and not serve the Lord. Because service means action, means involvement, means obedience. So Jesus said, "If any man will serve me," he didn't say if any man saved. He said, "If any man will serve me, him, my Father will honor." So God wants to treat you with great consideration. How would you like to know that when you get into a situation that's impossible for you, God will consider you? He'll be mindful of you. He'll be aware of your need. I don't really care what kind of prayer you've ever prayed. Don't care whatever kind of need you have ever had in your life and took to God. God's never been shocked. He saw you coming. Hello? Some people have the idea, that their problem is so big that if they went and told God, Jesus, look at the Father and say, "What are we going to do now?" There was a, that's a biggie, you know. No, God is more than enough. And He wants to extend that more than enough towards you. Now, I noticed as I began to study this, in the 8th Psalm, it is revealed that when God created Adam and Eve, that they were clothed with glory and honor. Here again, I'd read right over that honor part. I knew it was there and wasn't surprised when I saw it again, but all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute. I've heard a lot of instruction and teaching on the glory of God. And praise God for the manifested presence of God. And praise God for His glory. In my mind, you know, Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory of God, like this cloud or this fog or whatever it was, you know, had them engulfed. But wait a minute, that's not all they were clothed with. They were clothed with the honor. Well, now this almost sounds like honor is some kind of a material substance. It's almost like it's something more than just an attitude. It's something more than just a thought. But God clothed them with glory and honor. When they disobeyed God, we know the glory left. They were naked. But also the honor left, because you realize that when honor leaves, shame enters in. You know, there's a void when honor goes, but that void is quickly filled by shame. And we begin to realize that, oh, I'm undone, or I'm so lost, or I'm this, or I'm that. Well, you know, God covered them with the blood of a lamb and gave a substitute, a down payment, if you were, toward what Jesus was going to come and restore the glory and the honor. And so man's honor has been restored, but man needs to learn to walk in that honor. Man needs to learn to walk the way that God has recreated him in the new birth. He needs to understand that he is a son, daughter, child of the Most High God. We need to understand that. We need to walk that way. Not in arrogance, not in pride or in haughtiness, because we are undone without him, but with him we're done. We've been redone. And so we've been clothed with his glory and his honor. We live in Christ Jesus. That's our dwelling place. That's where we have been assigned. And so when the enemy comes at you, you think he sees you. He does not see you. He sees Jesus, unless you don't stay in there. And if you allow your flesh to get out there and you get in fear and all this and that, then he starts seeing you. No wonder we crumble in his presence. Satan delights in stealing the glory and stealing the honor from mankind. He is thrilled. But I tell you what, every one of us here, not one of us since we've been born again has lived a perfect life. Say, really? How do you know? How many humans we got in here? That's how I know. We all face the same stuff. And God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. If you confess your sin, I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll restore you. God's plan is to keep you in the glory and keep you in the honor. You know, if you miss it, fix it. Don't drag around. Don't wait around. Don't mope around and say, bless God, I missed it again. I'm sorry, God. And God said, okay, get on there and do what I told you to do and quit wallowing in that stuff. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That was a test, because you might really want to say that after a while. Just wanted to make sure you could. You see, only Jesus can restore the glory and the honor. We see people in the world today endeavoring to receive glory, endeavoring to be honored. They try all kinds of things, and they're all futile. Great things have been accomplished by people just for the purpose of trying to be somebody, when in reality, that never ever meets the need in their life. Only Jesus can do that. Now, concerning the subject of honor, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the Holy Ghost is speaking through Apostle Paul. He said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now, here we're told to honor one another, prefer one another. He's talking about relationships in a local church. He wrote to the church at Rome, and he told the church at Rome, you need to honor and respect one another. The enemy loves for us to be at odds with one another. He loves for us to be the source of strife and division, because where there's division and strife, there's every evil work. Okay? And so Satan loves to try to get us at one another. And you know, and we're all so smart, we think we know more than God sometimes. And so if we're not real careful, we'll get at odds with one another. But in reality, God really knows what He's talking about. We are commanded to honor one another. Notice He said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor. He said, be this. He didn't say, if you really want to get along good, you need to honor one another. Why don't you try that? No, He didn't say that. He says, you do this. You do this. And so we need to honor one another. Thomas Carlyle said, show me the man you honor, and I'll show you the kind of man you are. I thought, whoa, that's powerful. That's part of whatever it is that you think is honorable reveals the kind of person that you are. And that goes for all of us. Now, if we're going to be successful in leadership, we're going to have to be a person of honor. We're going to have to be honorable, and we're going to have to show honor. In Numbers chapter 27, we have the account of Moses after he had basically lived his life, completed his assignment. He's led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and now the 40 years have come and 40 years have gone, and it's time for the children of Israel to go into the promised land, of which God told Moses, you're not going to get a go. We won't go into all the why of that, but you're not going to get a go. And so it's time for Moses to die. God needs to raise up a leader. And God told Moses at the end of that portion of Scripture, Numbers 27, 15 through 23. He said, I want you to lay hands on Joshua and give him some of your honor. When I read that, now I don't understand that. How can he give some of his honor to Joshua? Then I begin to realize, well, honor must be some kind of a tangible something. It must be a real something. It's not just an idea. And so I began to meditate on that, and of course, Moses did that. Laid hands on front of Joshua in front of all the people, and prayed over him in the direction of God, anointed him. And it was amazing how all of a sudden the people's attention now is drawn to Joshua. All of a sudden Joshua speaks with great authority and great boldness, and the people begin to listen to him like they listened to Moses. What happened here? Well, one thing, there's a supernatural impartation took place. Something happened to Joshua, and the people observed that, and possibly something happened to them. When reflecting on that, I begin to realize we have something just like that today. We see the same thing taking place. I know in 1976, I believe it was, Elaine and I stood before a congregation of about 900 people in Hamilton, Ohio, and the pastor laid his hands on us, prayed over us, and made a declaration to those people that he believed we were called into mission work to go to New Mexico to Native Americans. It was amazing. I mean, we knew family. We knew a lot of people in that church. But all of a sudden, they begin to see us in a different light. What happened? Someone they had great confidence in, the pastor, acknowledged the fact that we were called into the ministry. He took some honor he had, and he placed that honor on us. Later on, Brother Hagin laid hands on us. Brother Hagin's laid hands on your pastors. And that's not something to be taken lightly. Whenever we say Brother Hagin has ordained us or licensed us or whatever term you want to use, it speaks of honor. It speaks of approval. It speaks of recognition. That's what happened with Joshua and Moses. And so we have what we call ordination, or the laying on of hands of ministry in the church today. What's the purpose of that? Well, there's an impartation. Something spiritual does happen. But it's also an announcement. It's an announcement to the observers that I believe this person is called of God. And this person has shown me by their action and their heart that they're following the leadership of God. And so that's how Moses transferred some of his anointing to Joshua. You realize if Joshua had went out there and messed up, it would have damaged Moses' honor. because Moses gave Joshua some of his. So we need to understand that on leadership, honor is essential. We need to realize that, in a relationship, and we all need relationships, there's got to have some honor. Matter of fact, you can't have a relationship with someone you do not honor, or you do not respect, or you do not see them as valuable and precious. Like maybe in a marriage. Several of you said you were married here. It just does a marriage good for the husband to honor his wife and the wife to honor her husband. It just makes a world of difference in the home. You know, you don't have to sleep on the couch if you honor your wife. Hello? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7 and Ephesians 5:33 that if we live in dishonor toward our spouse, it hinders our prayer life. So that in itself right there makes it very, very important. The Bible tells us we're to honor our father and mother. Honor them. Obey them. Do what they told us to tell us to do. Why would God tell children to obey their parents? What would be the benefit and the value there? I was making this same statement in another church not very long ago, and I heard myself say this. And this may set crossways with you. I don't know, but you'll get over it. Say, I'll get over it. Okay. But you know, God spoke that. That's Old Testament. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Who was God talking to when he said that? They taught us at Rhema, always ask yourself at least three questions when you read something in the Scriptures. Number one, who's talking? Number two, who are they talking to? Number three, what are they talking about? Because how many knows the devil's quoted in the Bible? So if you know that, you can discard that right away. It's true, the devil said that, but what he said wasn't true, okay? And so we need to understand. So here we see that God tells the children of Israel, you obey your parents. You do what your parent, why? Because those parents were following God. God knew the parents would give them good counsel. God knew the parents would tell them what they needed to know. Not just something off the wall. Not just because somebody's a parent doesn't mean that children are supposed to necessarily obey them. So we need to understand that when we're told to respect our parents and honor and obey our parents, those are godly parents, he's saying, that we're supposed to obey. Yeah, I knew it set crossways with some of you, but that's all right. You already said you'd get over it, so that's what counts. We're told to honor those in the government. Respect their positions. We're told to do that. Oh, I love this one. This is my favorite. We're told to give double honor to the ministry gifts. Now, I don't know what you think honor is. I don't know what your definition of honor is. But your pastor deserves two times that. So you come up with a definition of honor, whatever you want it to be, and your pastor deserves two times that. Okay, I'll give you some things here about honor, but you know, whatever honor is to you, however you treat other people with honor, your pastor and the ministry gifts deserve double. Everybody say double. Yeah, it didn't hurt too bad, did it? Glory to God. If each one of us will show honor, not just toward God, but toward our spiritual relationships, people that God brings into our life, not just our pastors, but obviously pastors, but people that God brings into our life to add something, to impart something that enables us to go to where we're called to go and be what we're called to be. As we honor them, we'll not have a shortage of honor coming back toward us. I'm going to close with a couple stories from the Gospels. That really, to me, speaks boldly and clearly about the place of honor. And I know you've heard these stories. Jesus said in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. How many's heard that verse? Yeah, well, most of us have heard that verse numerous times. Jesus made it real clear. And he had a problem with his family. He had a problem with his hometown. He said, a prophet has honor everywhere he goes, except when he goes to the family reunion. And when he goes to the family reunion or goes back home, he's just one of the guys. Okay? And now, here again, I'll show you some of my frailty and some of my weaknesses. The next verses, well, let me go ahead and read the next verse, then we'll go into that. It said, because of no honor with his family and his kinfolks, he could there do no mighty work. Where? In the place where his family was, in his own hometown. What was lacking? No honor. Okay? The prophet could not do anything unless there is honor. And because there he could do no mighty work. How many knows Jesus' attitude did not change because he went home? How many knows the will of God did not change because he was hanging around with his brothers and sisters? How many knows he still wanted to heal everybody? He wanted to deliver everybody. God still wanted to show himself mighty. He wanted to feed them. He wanted to raise them up. He wanted to do whatever they needed. God did not change just because Jesus went to the family reunion. Okay? But something changed. Something was different there. Okay? And Jesus describes it as a lack of honor or a lack of recognizing who he was. And it says he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, I'm reading this one day and I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought the problem was a lack of honor. I thought Jesus said a prophet couldn't do anything in his hometown because there wasn't any honor there. And then he turns right around. He's marveling because of their unbelief. Why didn't he marvel because of their lack of honor? Because they're related. You can't believe somebody you don't honor. You can't receive somebody from someone you don't honor. You don't recognize a person for who they are and what they are. You cannot receive from them. That's the problem Jesus' family had. His family did without. His family didn't get healed. His family didn't get delivered. All the wonderful, mighty things that Jesus did everywhere he went, he was not able to do that with his family. He was not able to do that in his own hometown, and it wasn't Jesus' fault. It wasn't Jesus' shortcoming. He was just as willing there as any place, but he said in his own hometown, he couldn't get them to see him for who he really was. Like, you know, this one lady probably said, I remember Jesus and his little kid, I bounced him on my knee, you know. I saw him, you know, over there playing in his daddy's workshop. I know him. I've known him when he was this big. A little too familiar with Jesus. A prophet is not without honor, except, and we got to be careful, we can get to know people so well that we fail to realize who they really are. Amen. So Jesus was limited in doing what he could do for his family because they failed to honor him. Another story I know you're familiar with. Jesus got word that a little girl was dead. And Jesus, one thing I like about Jesus, anytime he saw a problem, he wanted to fix it. He wanted to raise them from the dead. He wanted to heal them. He wanted to feed them. He wanted to calm the storms. It didn't really make a difference what the problem is. And why was Jesus that way? He said, I want to show you what the Father's like. I want to show you what it's like. Here's how the Father's like. And so the Father hasn't changed, friend. He's still that way. He still wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to meet your need. Even if you have invented a new need, one that no one else has ever had before, Jesus wants to meet it. Okay? So here we see, and Jesus is called to this house, and it says in Mark chapter 5, verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they could have said, oh, really? Okay. No. And they laughed him to scorn. Who's this idiot? Everybody knows she's dead. And here's this dingbat comes in here. This dum-dum comes along. She ain't dead. She's asleep. They laugh him to scorn. Probably came on Saturday Night Live that night. The next verse is, but when he put them all out, He put them out. You ever felt put out? Jesus put the scorners out. No honor. No honor there. No recognizing Him. You know, you'd think they'd be glad. Oh, Jesus has showed up. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All's well now because Jesus has showed up. No. They laughed Him to scorn. And He was determined to show the will of God, and He had to get rid of the scorners. And we may have to judge ourselves sometimes and ask ourselves, wait a minute, are we operating in honor here? Or are we walking in unbelief? Are we hindering what God really wants to do in our midst? You say, well, I can't help it. Well, get out. Get out of the way, and the people who are believing God, let them do what God wants them to do. So He put them out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel with them that were with him, and entered him when the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the hand. I'm just going to cut it short. And He said, get up. Yeah. Took her by the hand and said, get up. I wonder what she did. She got up. But notice, it wasn't until after He put the scorners out. He had to get some honor generated in the room. He had to get the place where faith was operating. And so I want to talk to you about serving with honor. And realizing that when you serve with honor. Or you are to serve with honor. A lack of honor always produces a lack of faith. And it always generates a lack of manifestation. One of the things that really has stirred my heart in the last 6 years, even before that, is why, oh why, oh why, is it not happening for Sister Hootenanny? Why is she not blessed? Why is he not blessed? Why are they not blessed? Why they seem to be saying all the right things? Well, you know, there's no way of knowing unless God tells you. So you can't point fingers at anybody. We don't judge people. We can't. We're forbidden to do that. We resist the temptation to do that, but when it's not working, it's not working. And so the best we can do is start finding reasons that it may not be working. And here we see a reason. Lack of honor. And so if you got an area in your life that it doesn't seem to be working, now you realize I could be preaching on patience today. I could be preaching on having done all to stand. What do we do now? Stand. Because you just got done doing everything there is to do to stand. So that's why you did that. So you can stand. Okay? But we're not preaching on that. We're preaching on you've been standing. You've said all the right things, quote unquote. You've done all the right things, quote unquote. How many know we don't know all the right things? I don't. Maybe you do, but I don't know. I'm learning. Okay? And so we need to realize that if we it's not happening, we need to do some investigation. We need to start finding out, God, why isn't it happening? Why isn't it happening, Lord? I'll share this with you real quick. I may have shared it before, but, you know, we have a daughter. She's 30 years old. Getting ready to be a grandparent, by the way, in October. Glory to God. And she's a miracle. We couldn't have children. All the doctors said we couldn't have children. And then we went to talk to Jesus, and He said, no problem. But it took us 4 years of believing, doing our best to believe God. And I asked God several years after she was born, why, God, did it take so long? Why did it take so long, God? And He told me, He taught me something. He said, the Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. I said, yes, it does. I know that. He said, why do you walk in the natural? I said, well, I walk to get from here to there. That's purpose of the walking is you're someplace where you don't want to be, and there's someplace you want to be, and so you walk there. And He says, you don't leap by faith. You don't fly by faith. You walk by faith. You take it a step at a time. And He said, the reason it took you 4 years, you're a slow walker. He didn't say that. He didn't say it that way. But the message was pretty well clear. He said, when you first started, quote, believing me, you were believing me with everything you had. You just didn't have enough. You didn't know enough. He said, but as you took the step you knew to take, I could show you more. And you would take that step. And then I could show you more. And he said, eventually, because every time I showed you something, you would correct that, or you would add that, or you would subtract that, whatever I showed you in your life. And eventually got to the place where I could honor your faith and give you a child. Well, that may be where you're at. You may be walking. You may be maybe God today is sharing something with you that'll help you take another step. I don't know. I just preach what God gives me on my heart, and then He has to do something with you with it. See, many in Jesus' family didn't experience the goodness of God. You know, we can respect with words, but honor always requires substance. In other words, actions. Our actions have to back up what we say if there's true honor. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 said, honor the Lord. I wonder, is he getting ready to talk about honor? Yeah. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. Uh-oh, Myrtle, he's starting to talking about giving now. I sure am, Myrtle. I'm just read the Bible is all I've did so far. God said you honor the Lord with your stuff, substance. Use your stuff for Him. And that's why you got the stuff. And you get to enjoy it while you got it. Okay? But honor Him with your tithes and offerings. You honor Him with your giving. There was a story in the Gospels where this lady come in one day, you know, and she dumped this stuff all over Jesus. And the room was filled with this amazing aroma and everything. And one of the more spiritual disciples got all bent out of shape because he said, you could have sold that stuff and given to the poor. Well, we all know that was Judas. He probably classified himself as the poor. Hello? Jesus said of this woman, you don't understand. We talked about understanding this morning. You don't understand what this lady's done. She's anointed me for my burial. Now, it's interesting, as you read the Gospels, Jesus gives them all kind of insight about what's fixing to happen. I don't know why they were shocked when they arrested him and killed him. And I don't know why they were shocked when he got up 3 days later. They weren't listening. He said, this lady, she has anointed me for my burial, and what she has done here today will be spoken of her for all eternity. You see, I wonder if that came to pass, what came to pass right now. I just got done telling you about that lady who did this. For she honored him. She recognized him for who he was and honored him with her stuff, with her life, with her being. So how do we serve Jesus? The rest of John 12, 26 says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. So how do we serve him? We follow him. We follow his example. We follow his word. We do our best to obey what we understand he wants us to do in the body of Christ. We're told and we're commanded to honor one another. From the leadership right on down to the bottom echelon, wherever that may be, in the body of Christ. We're to recognize every member in the body is extremely valuable, extremely precious, and worthy of honor. And so I trust this has helped you possibly understand the value of honor. I don't know about you, but I want God honoring me. I want the Father honor me, and whenever I make messes in my life, and you probably never have made a mess in your life, but I'm a master at it, had a lot of experience. When I do, I need God to honor me and help me. When I sin, I need God's blood, Jesus' blood, to cleanse me, honor me in what He has done. And so you need His honor in your life. You need His ability to see you in great value, so forth and so on. Could I pray over you as I turn it back over to the pastor? Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you today in our attendance. We honor you today in listening to your word. We've honored you today, Lord, in our worship and our praise and our giving. Lord, you're honorable. You're worthy of our honor. And we honor you by obeying you to the best of our ability. And Jesus, your precious Son, said if we would serve him, you would honor us. And Lord, you know every single individual in our midst today. You know every person that's here. And each one probably has a unique situation, a unique need in their life. Some are very, very, very needful, very important. Some it's a casual need, but nevertheless, we all need something from you. And so, Lord, in our honoring you and our serving you, we just ask you to honor us and let your healing power saturate our bodies. Let your abundance, Lord, just flow toward us so we can be obedient to you. Guide us by your Spirit. Lord, we don't want to walk in the darkness. We want to walk in the light of life. We want to be led by you because you have a good plan for us. You have a good purpose for us. Lord, if there are those today that have not served you or have not received you in their heart, I just ask you to help them honor you today by calling upon your name and receiving you in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.